Good afternoon, and welcome to the WHTC At Home Show, presented by Zeeland Lumber and Supply, with your host, Mark VandenBosch. Mark presents the latest in building, remodeling, everything for your home. You are at home on 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com.
Thanks, Brent, for that welcome here today on the At Home Show, the first Friday of November, and we've got a great show planned for you today. Some housekeeping before we jump right into it. Your host is Mark VandenBosch, and I've been your host for the last couple of years. It's been an exciting run. We have a topic that we haven't talked about in those 24 months, and super excited about our topic today. We have Dan Hansen from Repco Light Paints joining us. Thanks for joining us today, Dan.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So let me paint a picture of what we're going to do today. We're going to talk a lot about paint. We're going to talk about prepping. We're going to talk about a lot of questions that you may or may not have for the interior of your home, the exterior of your home. We're going to do so, and we want to encourage your calls. 395-1450, that's 395-1450. You know, in the past I've said you can text your questions to 616-836-2904. You can do that as well. And email is always open if you want to email questions to markv@zeelandlumber.com. So, again, Dan, thanks for joining us. Let's just jump right into it. You know, one of the things with painting that comes to my mind right away is the process, right?
Sure.
And how important is it to have a prep surface? What are the things that homeowners have to consider when tackling a painting
sure.
job?
Well, pretty much when you're tackling, you know, when you talk about how important prepping is, there really isn't anything in the process more important than prepping it. If you do that incorrectly, we try to talk about this in the stores when we help people, if you do this incorrectly, everything you do, not just for that project, but for projects down the road can be a problem. We've had people who don't prep the walls right. They paint it. Well, the paint starts to peel. You know, there's maybe a contaminant there that they didn't deal with, and they come into the store. Well, how do I fix it? Well, the bad news is fixing it starts to get very difficult because that base is wrong. It's faulty, and how do you get back to it? So prepping is extremely important, and we've got a number of – it really depends on the situation and what you're doing. If it's new drywall, it's a matter of, you know, sanding that drywall surface. You know, normally the installers have already done that. We recommend just getting it cleaned, just vacuuming it off, shop vac kind of a thing, putting a good primer on, doing a light sanding job, and then going ahead with your finish paint. You know, again, it depends on the situation. There are all kinds of various situations, and each one has different steps.
Right, so even if, it, you know, again, let's talk about remodel-type project. Say there's wallpaper on the wall.
Sure, wallpaper is always fun. Everybody loves dealing with that. You know, one of the things that everybody wants to do is paint over the wallpaper, and that's certainly it's possible, and we definitely try to steer people away from that, though, because it makes stripping it down the road harder, and it also exposes all the seams. You know, when wallpaper has a pattern, you can hide those seams. When you throw a solid color paint on it, they all pop. They show up very quickly. So we recommend stripping it off. There are different chemical strippers that can be used, wallpaper steamers, things like that. We have all of that, and they all work very well. A lot of the newer wallpapers peel off quite quickly. Once you've got the paper off, one of the things that we really strongly recommend is there's a water-based adhesive that holds that paper onto the wall. And if you don't get all of that off and you put a water-based paint right over top of that, a lot of people have probably experienced this, it alligators. It creates a texture because the water in the paint activates that paste that's left on the wall.
Okay.
And you end up with a texture on the wall that can only be fixed by letting it dry and sanding it through. So we recommend a really good washing after you've gotten that paper off. And then honestly, as bad as it sounds, sometimes an oil-based primer will seal that in and give you a very sound surface. Now, there are new water-based primers specific for this that will seal that in without activating the paste, but that's a very important step.
But you're suggesting that an oil-based primer still is relevant.
An oil-based primer is extremely good for that kind of a scenario because it won't react with the water on the paste. It'll seal it in, and then you can put latex right on top of that. You know, there's no problem with using a latex over that oil primer, none at all.
Okay. For those of you who are just joining us, you are listening to the At Home Show here on 1450 WHTC, your host Mark VandenBosch, and I'm flying alongside Dan Hansen today from Repco Light Paints, and This is a great topic, and again, it's a topic that we haven't talked about on the show before. 395-1450 if you want to weigh in on the topic. What I'm hearing from you, though, it's all about laying the proper foundation.
It's all about laying the proper foundation.
Now, we've talked a little bit about interior and laying the foundation. What about exterior? If you have an existing home, I'm thinking out loud, what if you have vinyl siding? What if you have aluminum siding and
sure.
you really want to paint over top of that? How does
right.
that look?
Well, it works very well, actually. Painting over vinyl siding, painting over aluminum siding, those surfaces are really, really great surfaces to paint. Now, there is prep work that's necessary. A lot of the times, every time, what we recommend is a good washing. Again, everything comes back to washing that surface, getting it sound. With a latex paint, which is what we'd recommend on vinyl or aluminum, the paint doesn't penetrate into that surface. Certain surfaces paint will penetrate into, and then it gets some of its bond that way by penetrating in. On this, it's all surface bond. And if that surface has dirt or dust or contaminant on it, that's what the paint bonds to, and you get peeling and all of that quite quickly. So what we recommend is just there's a very inexpensive way, which is TSP, trisodium phosphate, very inexpensive cleaner. You would put that over the vinyl, wash it down, rinse it well, and then once it's dry, which normally doesn't take long at all, you can go ahead and paint. It's very interesting because this is the kind of project that a lot of people, you know, they assume it's a huge project, and it is a fair amount of work. But what's really interesting about it is you can accomplish this for very little money. Now, I probably shouldn't say this because you guys
right.
probably sell some vinyl siding, but
right.
if you don't want to buy the vinyl siding, which is a great opportunity, I mean, it's a great product, but if you want to save money, you can, for about 5 gallons, we'll do an average size house, one coat. So for $200 to $300, potentially, and a couple weekends worth of work, you know, and doing that proper prep work, you can get a new color on that vinyl siding that'll last you know, 5, 10 years or so.
You know, from my perspective, it seems like painting vinyl siding specifically in this case, mm-hmm. the level of paranoia just goes up tenfold. Is that an urban legend that's been around forever that you can't paint vinyl, or has the advances in technology really helped the market be able to do this even in the last 3 to 5 years?
Sure, it's a give and a take. It's actually, a lot of it's an urban legend. You know, it's the real issue is painting with the right color. You know, you generally don't want to go with an average regular paint to a color darker than what's on your vinyl siding already, because with the heat, the expansion, you don't want to, if you put a color that's darker than what's existing on there, it could expand in the heat over the summertime and not shrink back.
Okay.
That could be a problem. So we do have recommendations about color and stuff like that. We've also got products. We carry products from Benjamin Moore, for example, and their Aura exterior paint, which is a really high-end. It's expensive, but it's worth it. It covers in one coat. They've got specific colors that we can put on these vinyl sidings that will hold up for years. So it will work very well if you do it the right way.
And that applies to vinyl siding, just the traditional lap look, as well as, have you seen it for vinyl shake siding
as well?
Pretty
much any kind of vinyl siding. It's just the only issue would be making sure you get it prepped.
Okay.
And, right. and what we wouldn't want is you don't want to buy brand new vinyl siding. You know, we've had people with brand new mismatched, and they put it on there hoping to paint that. That's a little iffy. You got to let it weather a little bit.
You're back at home here, presented by Zeeland Lumber and Supply. We've got Dan Hansen from Repcolite on the show. And for those of you who heard the first segment, we talked a lot about laying the foundation. I mean, that's paramount when taking on a project, whether it's an interior mm-hmm. or exterior project. You know, what step is next? Once you've accomplished having a proper setting to be able to finish the product, and what are the things that you have to consider, from brushes to rollers? And you know, you've got rollers with different, is knap the proper
right.
terminology?
Yeah, that's the proper terminology.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot to consider. A lot of what we recommend, you know, what people most struggle with in the whole project usually is finding the right color. That's usually the struggle, and a lot of the times people struggle with decorating, and they get this idea that it's going to be very complicated and very time-consuming because they do it the wrong way. They go about it in the wrong order. You know, we're kind of bouncing off of the topic a little bit, but I'll get back to where you're going. But one of the biggest things that we recommend at the store is when you're picking your color is to start with, a lot of people want to start with the paint color. You know, we go to the store, we're wandering through for something else, we see paint colors on the wall or on the chip racks, so we grab a bunch, and we start thinking. And a lot of people will start with that. They'll get that gallon of paint in whatever color. And then they start looking for, oh, let's get some fabrics for the windows, or maybe this, or maybe some furniture. Well, now they start to find that it starts to get complicated because the furniture doesn't match the color they picked on the wall. We always recommend starting any project before you've done any prep work or anything at all is start with some of these other items that you're going to be bringing into the room. If you're doing a full remodel and you're changing some of your items, get those things first. Pick out your paint colors last. Once you've got, because we can custom match anything. If you've got a fabric or a cushion or a pillow, whatever it is, we can pull a color out and help you with that. So then once you've got all of that done, and now you've prepped your walls and you've got all of that done the right way, now it's just a matter of putting the paint on. And yeah, when you talk about the roller covers and stuff like that, people do get confused. You look at the rack, it's honestly insane because there's, you know, 15 different types of covers. There's all different sizes, all different thicknesses. The general rule of thumb is you want to use something as short a nap as you possibly can for the surface you're putting it on. Smooth drywall, you don't want to go to something with a very thick nap. You want to stay to like a 3/8 inch nap. You know, not to get too technical, but it's a very short nap, and that would be ideal for most finishes.
Right. I mean, I usually like long naps, especially on Sunday afternoon, but let's go to the call. You are live on the At Home Show.
Yeah, my name is Becky, and I'm a long-time, first-time caller.
Thank you, Becky, for calling.
Yeah, I had a question in regards to front doors. I have a front door, and I'm just wondering, because of, like, the different weather conditions, what kind of paint would you use for that?
What kind of paint? Are you talking about what would you put on the door, or what would you put on the door right now when it's raining and cold?
Well, my door, it seems like because we've been there for a couple years, mm-hmm. and all of the paint has chipped off, so I'm looking to get my husband to paint that front door.
Good luck with that.
So I'm just wondering if I go to Repco Light, like what kind of paint would they recommend that we use on that front door?
Well, one of the first things to do is to, again, start with making sure that you get everything that's loose and peeling off of the door. If you paint over paint that is loose, the new paint isn't going to bond it down. A lot of people think that new paint will secure that surface, and it won't. And then you'll just have a peeling problem that'll continue. So the first thing I would do is just go over your door and sand it, just to dull it down first off, but also to look for areas where the paint isn't bonded as well. Once you've got that done, you know, wipe it down with just a damp rag, and then you can go to your finish paint. It's a metal door or a wooden door?
It is a wooden door.
Wooden door. Okay. Well, then you're going to want to look for an exterior primer if you're down to bare wood. And so that would be a good place to start. So sand it down as far as you can go. I mean, you don't have to do a heavy sanding like with equipment or anything. You're just doing a hand sanding to expose loose paint, find that out, and then see where you're at. If you're down to mostly bare wood, then you'd want to use a primer, and we'd generally recommend an oil-based primer. And then a latex top coat.
Gotcha.
If you're not down to, you know, a lot of bare wood, you could spot prime it, and again, top coat with a latex, or you could just go to a latex.
Good. All right.
All right.
I will get my husband right on that, and we'll have to go to Repco Light to pick that up.
Well, we appreciate that.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Great, thanks.
Hey, thanks, Becky, for calling. That's a great call. Great question. You know, one comment that I would have as a follow-up to what Becky said was, when you are repainting that door, are you recommending painting all the edges of that door, the front, the back, the top, and the sides?
Well, generally, we recommend painting everything that's necessary. You know, if you're switching colors, of course, you're going to have to hit all of those areas. A lot of the times, if it's just a repaint or just a touch-up, a lot of the times you just touch up what needs to be touched up and wait till the rest of it needs to be coated.
You know, and I think one thing with a wooden door, and I caught that's what this particular person has, is it's really important to seal all sides of a wood door because that wood will move. And especially in an interior door type application, that's an important thing.
Right,
with an exterior
wooden door, you're correct.
Right. You know, one other follow-up question would be this is, you know, I've heard terminology of paint, of stain, of finish. Are these all one and the same?
Nope,
or how do you use these? Let's kind of make it simple for everyone.
We struggle with that. we generally work under the overall name of coatings, and even that doesn't cover it. Paint is going to be, you know, what we typically think of as paint, an opaque coating.
Mm-hmm.
That's either a latex, water-based, or an oil-based, or something like that. There are stains, which is a product that will, you know, you've got interior stains where it's a product, a translucent coating that soaks into wood. You know, there are exterior stains which look a lot like paint, and that's where some of the confusion comes from. And again, they're technically different from paint. They function differently. These exterior stains, they look the same. They give you the same end result visually, but a different result for practically speaking. You know, it may look the same as paint, but it's going to function different and hold up better, which is why we use it in certain situations. And then finishes, those are generally talking about clear coats.
Okay.
Generally talking about clear coats that would go over different types of surfaces.
Now, if you did go with a clear coat, and the example that I'm thinking of is in an exterior type application. Mm-hmm. So let's just say that the homeowner has cedar lap siding or cedar shakes, and they just wanted a clear coat on the wall of the home. Putting that on, how long can one expect to keep it that way and not have to recoat it?
We're talking about a cedar exterior surface. Yeah, first off, you'd start with trying to determine what kind of product you wanted on there. A lot of the times, coatings can pose an issue. You know, when you put something that's an actual coating or a finish can peel. You know, certain situations we can get you that same color that you want, but in something that penetrates, a penetrant or something similar to a stain, and it fades as a, you know, 'cause every coating, every product that you put on is going to fail at some point. You know, that, you've just got to plan on that. That's just how it works. So
right.
You try to put on something that's going to, when it fails, if it's a stain that just fades out, now it's just a matter of recoating it. No big deal. If it's starting to peel and flake, well, now you've got some other issues to deal with. So those are some of the things we'd start by talking about. And then we've got other specific products that we could recommend and steer you through. And you're going to get a varied amount of durability out of it, largely based on the exposure that it gets.
We're talking paint. Actually, more importantly or more fitting, we're talking about coatings, as Dan alluded to in the last segment. So let's continue talking about coatings. And one of the things that technology has given us is an opportunity to really dream about any color imaginable to put on our walls. Maybe 10, 15 years ago, that wasn't the case. Talk a little bit about how that's affected the industry.
Actually, 10, 15 years ago, we still had a fair, you know, when I started in the store, we had color computers where we could match anything. And what's very interesting is customers really, you know, what you believe about these color computers, that it's going to nail it right away. You know, that's how we get a color. And at Repcolite, generally what we do is we use those color computers to help us get a quick start so we can get you your color, because we can match any color. We've got the 3,000 or so in the store, but anything you bring in, we've matched dirt. We've matched things like that for a deer blind, flowers outside the door, anything. We use the computers to get to a starting point, but then we still do the rest by eye, which is really the opposite of where you're going. It's the old-fashioned way, and we've found it's honestly by far the best.
Interesting. You know, for those of you who do know me, know I'm a big Michigan fan, so this whole next topic is maybe a little bit dangerous, especially in light of tomorrow's game, but really, there's a buzzword out there of going green. I can't believe I'm even going there. But talk about how your company is green and how your industry is green.
Okay. Well, it's one of those things when you're a paint manufacturer, which we are, and we manufacture our own product right here in Holland, and a lot of people, you know, potentially assume that there's a dark cloud of smog that hovers over the factory and, you know, rivers that are destroyed all around the store. And that's not the case. We're very careful. And one of the things that we've launched, you know, besides the normal stuff that we do, you know, the paint industry struggles with this image. And so we're working on cleaning everything up that you possibly can. And so we're working on that with all these different new technologies for producing products that have lower VOCs, lower solvent levels in them and stuff like that. But one of the things we've also done over the last, about 2 years ago, we started a recycled paint program. And we make a recycled paint right here in Holland. We basically have opened up the doors and people can bring in their unwanted latex paint, because there's a lot of paint that ends up going into landfills or people just don't know what to do with. And if you go to environmental websites, you know, places that really are concerned, the best answer they have is to put kitty litter in it, to solidify it, and then throw it away into a landfill. We're trying to give another option, and that's taking the paint. We turn it into a recycled paint product that's been a premium product. It's been great. Sells for quite a bit less than a normal product. Covers great. And that's one of the things we're doing to help, you know, keep things green.
Yeah, that's pretty intriguing. Now, what is the filter that one would have to use to be able to say, hey, I can bring this into your shop? I mean, is there a certain age?
Right.
Is there, mentioned latex.
Right. It's got to be latex. That's what we can recycle at this point. It's got to be usable paint. Because what we do is we take it all in, we sort it, and then we, again, turn it into repurpose it back into what it was supposed to be, paint for walls. And so it's got to be usable. A number of those things. We do charge, we've got $1 per gallon. So it's a pretty minimal charge, but it covers some of the stuff that we can't deal with because it looks good in the store, but then when we get it to the plant, we do have to solidify some of it. We try to minimize that, but we make sure that whatever gets thrown out is actually, you know, dealt with the proper way. We're working with the different waste haulers to help us make sure we do that.
Right, and it doesn't have to be a certain brand of paint or anything like that.
No, it can be anybody's paint, anybody's color. None of that matters.
You know, I think that's an incredible initiative, and you know, I know for me personally, we probably have 10 to 12 gallons at home.
Sure.
That
everybody
we've accumulated.
Does.
Yeah, right. Over a period of several years, that all have a different amount of paint in that, and that's just a great way to be a good steward.
Exactly.
Of the environment, even at $1 a piece, that's just a great thing. You know, is paint a paint? You know, I mentioned brands, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Talk about really what makes a paint good.
Sure. A lot of people operate under the idea, and I did before I started working in the store, I'm going to buy the cheapest thing I can find because paint's paint. Why would I spend more? But what you find when you spend more is you get something that covers a lot better. It's got more. There's certain products that we put in when we make it that there's just more of it in an expensive or a more expensive product, and it covers better. It applies with less spattering, if any at all. We have a lot of our products that I can paint an entire room, and I'm not a painter. I mean, ask my family. I can get through it, but I can do the whole room without putting a drop cloth down because it doesn't drip. It doesn't drip off the brush. It doesn't drip off the roller. It doesn't splatter. All of that is gained with a better paint product, and it will save you time in the long run. And a lot of people, when they find that out, they never go back. And they find that paint projects aren't nearly as bad as they think they were. My mom worked with paint she would always go cheap and buy the cheapest thing she could for years. Finally, just last year, I got her to use good paint. My goodness, she called. She called about 4 times in a day just saying, I can't believe it. Finally, I had to just block her calls.
Right. So it really has a better coverage.
Better coverage.
The spattering.
The whole thing is
a
better experience.
Right. So a little bit of an investment up front really
and
pays
even
long-term.
That, a lot of the time, isn't as bad as people think. You know, $3, $4, $5 more a gallon. An average room is 2 gallons. $10 to save that much time to have to do it fewer times down the road. It lasts longer. You really can't lose.
You know, Dan, some great takeaways from the show today, even for me personally, and I hope the same thing held true to you listeners out there that called in, and thanks for the call in. Becky, great call, and hope you continue to listen and call in. Any other resources that folks can go to, even online?
Sure, repcolite.com, repcolite.com, and they can contact us that way.
Great, Dan. You know, love to have you back on the show sometime in the future.
Back.
It was a great show, and just want to wish everyone a safe and happy weekend. So long, everybody.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon for the WHTC at Home Show, presented by Zeeland Lumber and Supply on 1450 WHTC with your host, Mark VandenBosch. If you'd like to hear today's show again, go to our website for the podcast. Just log on to Holland's homepage, WHTC.com, and join us next week for At Home on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.